Dominic Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live today from the Bode Hotel, hanging out in the courtyard. Bode, Nashville is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium and is a perfect place to book for a Titans game, Preds game, anything downtown. I mean, we are right here in SoBro at the Bode Nashville. And again, they've got one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom. They've got it.
Four bedroom.
They say they've got
absolute unit of a room.
Come on by and register to win a pair of tickets to a Preds game and a two-night stay in a two-bedroom hotel here at the Bode. And of course, sidebar, your spot to pick up snacks on your way to the game as opposed to paying those high concession prices. So I have lived. Joe Retro wrote a column I didn't read. I'm going to be honest with you. But he was referencing it a lot this morning on Robbie and Retro. He was talking about the curse of the Colts and how it's all made up, and that basically the reason why Indianapolis dominated the Titans for a long period of time was because the Colts had Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and you didn't, which is something that for the most part I agree with.
That's fair.
But what I don't agree with Joe, who wasn't here for that and literally just looked at who played quarterback in those games, I felt like the way he was discussing it lacked a lot of context. And as I was trying to explain, you can look at a game in 2003 where the Colts won at Nissan Stadium and say, well, they had Peyton Manning and you didn't. But in that game, Peyton Manning was the league MVP and Steve McNair was the league MVP. They shared the award that year. But the Titans decided to put Eddie Berlin at kick returner. He fumbled twice, and the Titans had to come all the way back. And then with a drive to win the game, they fumbled the punt and lost. And that's happened a lot over the years. So Indianapolis comes in here with a banged up Carson Wentz. Quentin Nelson gets hurt. No T.Y. Hilton. I'm not convinced Indianapolis is a very good team anyways. But they come in here and the Titans beat them. And I don't feel bad for Indianapolis because the same thing happened 2 years ago and they won and got into the playoffs because of it. Or 3 years ago, so I don't feel bad. But right now, the Titans are 2-1. And they're 2-1 and almost three games ahead of the Colts. Now, they're only, shockingly, a game ahead of the Houston Texans. Because the Texans are 1-2, the Titans are 2-1, but the Texans have a divisional win, and you have a divisional win, and one of their losses was an NFC loss. So it's crazy to think about, but the Texans right now are in second place, and you don't have as much of an obvious cushion on them. I'm not really worried about the Texans. Jacksonville's 0-3, and they're just awful. How does it feel today to know that Indianapolis, the one team that everybody, and we talked at length this summer, that I couldn't understand why everybody was putting Indianapolis into the same conversation with the Titans. And when I think Indy's good, I'll tell you they're good. When they came in here in 2018 and people said, well, all we need, I'm like, it's not going to matter. They have Andrew Luck. Not worried about it. And everyone's like, well, but they can, Jared, they can. No, no, no. The Titans have a three-game lead on the Colts. When I get mad about the way the Titans played yesterday, because I thought it was sloppy, because I thought it was maybe a little too reliant on Derrick Henry to bail them out of tough spots, I'm thinking about winning the AFC. Or I'm thinking about competing and getting to an AFC championship game. I'm not thinking about getting to the playoffs. I saw today the percent chance for the Titans to win the division right now stands at 60%.
And it feels a little bit higher than that.
Winning the division is not my focus right now. And I know how you play in September is not going to be how you play in November or December. But I do think we have to look at this right now and say, okay, the division should be okay for this year. And I know it's crazy to say after week three, but I anticipate that Indy will lose one of the next two and will start the season no better than 1-4. I'm scared to death of the Jets game. I'm not scared of the Jags. The Jags are a mess, and Urban just keeps making things worse. Did you see what he did today?
Urban?
Yes.
I don't think so.
He traded CJ Henderson.
Oh, I did see that.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has no clue how to win in the NFL, so I'm not worried about them. At worst, you should be 4-1. You should be 3-2, but really, you should be 4-1. On paper, and I know, you know, the GM would never take any game for granted or nothing like that, and I get it. But at worst, you should be 3-2 or 4-1. three games ahead of Indianapolis with at least two division wins. And these losses that they're going to incur to you, and if they lose to Baltimore or
Tampa
Miami,
Bay.
Well, but those are AFC losses, so that's a lot worse. And so, I mean, I look at the division this year, and I didn't look, we didn't come here this year for the Titans to win the division. When I went down to Tampa Bay and watched them practice, it wasn't to see, okay, do I think they're good enough to beat the Colts? But I do think that Indianapolis showed you yesterday by playing Carson Wentz how desperate they were to try to get back in this division race. And they're not. And I think to myself right now that this year, the division could in theory be over by November. I mean, Jacksonville and Houston are no good and are showing no signs of really ever being good. In fact, they're 1-5 between them. The one win was Houston over Jacksonville. That was it. And Houston's quarterback's hurt. So those two teams are terrible. Indianapolis has a brutal stretch to start the year. If there's going to be a catch-up, it would be by you dropping one of these games to the Jets or the Jags, which just absolutely cannot happen. But then you'd have to assume that, okay, you know, that tough spot, that Rams, the Rams, Bills, Chiefs. But even then, if you just win one of those three games and then beat the Colts on Halloween, I don't think they can get back in this race. And that is why I guess I maybe look at them a little bit more critically. I think they know. I mean, some of the statements that they had after the game, I think they know that, like, their chances this year are not very good. And so I don't know about all of you, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, oh my goodness, look at the Titans and look at the situation they are in 3 weeks into the season.
Did you think that Indianapolis had a chance going into the season?
I mean, I thought they had a chance. I was not a Wentz fan from the start. I was not.
Well, because in Indianapolis, they are absolutely floored at the fact that they're 0-3.
I don't know how
they
can.
Shocked.
I mean, if you looked at the schedule when it came out, we talked about it when the schedule came out. The Colts have a brutal stretch to start the
year. Oh, yeah.
Then the quarterback got hurt and missed practice. Then the best player got hurt and missed practice. This shouldn't be a surprise. And I'm not convinced their quarterback's all that good anyways. I heard Colin Cowherd today was just bagging on Carson Wentz.
He loves Carson Wentz. Oh, he loves the Colts.
He said that's where he was wrong, was Carson Wentz. And he was like, you know, Carson, he can't do it. Some of these throws he was missing yesterday, I thought Wentz's performance was actually pretty okay yesterday, given the circumstances.
Given the circumstances of that he had 2 of 2 broken ankles.
I mean, he was kind of just standing there with the football like, if you come near me, I'm launching this sucker into the ground and I'm not taking a hit. And he doesn't have any good receivers. And, you know, they didn't give the ball to the running back. And, I mean, I actually thought Carson Wentz played okay. But he is what he is. And they are what they are. And I don't see that changing this year with Indianapolis. And so I just don't know how to feel about it. Because there's a part of me that's like, wow, I mean, you know what? Like last year when the Titans won the division and things were not pretty with the defense and I didn't think that they were really contenders, I said, hey, this is the first time they won the division since my freshman year of college. Like there should be something for that we feel pretty good about. But then I also remember the Patriots and how winning the AFC East never mattered to them because they were always about, you know, the playoffs. They cared about Indy when Peyton Manning was there and they cared about Baltimore with Ray Lewis and they cared about Denver once Peyton went there and they were worried about them. They weren't worried about Miami or the Jets or the Dolphins Bills. They were worried about, you know, the rest of the AFC. And I'm starting to feel like we can actually turn that page right now. Just go ahead and turn it. Just say, okay, let's worry about the AFC. Let's worry about the Titans' chances. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Someone tweeted me and said apparently 538 gives the Titans a 79% chance to win the AFC South and an 82% chance to make the playoffs, which is pretty wild. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction on that. Plus, Taylor Lewan. I can't believe what Taylor Lewan did yesterday. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, we are live from the Bode Hotel right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, Caroline wants to tell all the fine folks out there just how much she absolutely positively loves BetUS.
I love BetUS. You know how much I love BetUS. And I want to tell all the sports bettors out there about BetUS. Football is finally in season, so get in on the action. We've got a Monday night game tonight, so put some money on it. BetUS has been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years, and that is exactly why I endorse BetUS, because they have integrity, they have longevity, and when you win, you want to know that you're going to get paid, and that's exactly what you get with BetUS. Plus, they offer everything. They have live bets, MMA, golf, horses, esports, crazy prop bets, and of course, football. So get in on the action. Call BetUS today. They'll walk you through setting up an account. Call 1-800-79-BETUS. That is 1-800-79-BETUS. They'll walk you through setting up an account. It is super easy. Plus, you will get a big time bonus. Nobody in the industry gives bigger bonuses than BetUS. If you join now, mention game, you can get a sign up bonus on your first deposit. Nobody beats up to 200% sign up bonuses. Then BetUS. I bet at BetUS, so should you. Go now to BetUS.com. Join today. Put in promo code GAME for a sign-up bonus. That is BetUS.com.
Stillman & Company Reaction Monday is powered by our friends at Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are live at the Bode Hotel downtown. Come on by and register to win those tickets. By the way, join us for the pregame show. We'll be live at the Corner Pub in Brentwood. Mark Howard, Chris Sanders, 9:30 to 11:30 prior to the Titans taking on the Jets. The pregame show brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. So we're going to get to something Taylor Lewan said yesterday. Which,
oh boy.
I was stunned when I saw this. Stunned. And I'll tell you why I was stunned in just a second. But after the game was over, we all know the context. Lewan got booed against the Arizona in the Arizona game. Mm-hmm. Then didn't play last week against Seattle. By all accounts, had an okay game yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, not a great game. Vrabel said, you know, some plays that were good, some plays that were bad.
Improvement from week one,
whatever.
But I don't really know how much that says about that. But he had a decent game yesterday.
And he went off yesterday about the fan reception in week one. Here's what Taylor Lewan said yesterday. And I should note this has been doctored to take the cuss words out, apparently.
I cruised back on the field, and our PA announcer, I know he just, I think his name is Matt, just got the job. First game, right? Announces that I'm back in the game. And these fans go and start booing. Now, here's the deal. I don't know what that's all about. Like, I'm coming back from the ACL, 10 months. Like, it's a difficult process. And, yeah, I wasn't playing well at all. That was a really hard game to get over emotionally, mentally. That light went out. Like, that's how it went week one. That's a perfect metaphor for all of us. It was a really big deal. You guys aren't going to be able to use any of this on cable. But, like, it was... Man, I really wish I could have, like, articulate, like, how difficult that was. And, you know, it was just hard to hear the fans after, you know, 7-8 years of as much as I tried to do for the city boo when I came back out there. That was, started looking over at Ben, and he looked at me and smiled and shook his head, and I was like, damn, like, that's crazy how fast it just turned. And I'll never forget that. And, it was a difficult 24 hours, a difficult 36 hours, a difficult 48 hours.
That audio VR, friends, at A to Z Sports. I heard TD today on Darren Donick and Chase, and Teron Davenport said, you know, hey, we can't ask, you know, the players to tell us the truth when they never tell us the truth, and then one guy gets up there and tells you how you feel, mm-hmm. and then you bury the guy for it. And I do think that it is a fair point to make that if we bury everybody for telling the truth, then nobody will ever tell the truth. And right now, most people don't tell the truth. But every time the Titans post one of these videos inside the locker room after they win, Vrabel's always excited, always ecstatic, and always says, all right, you know what? Hey, go out there and credit the whoever you just beat. You know, go out there, credit, give all the credit to the Texans. You know, talk about your teammates. Let's get back to work on Monday. Get ready to go. You know, all right, break it down, Ryan. You know, and he does it every time.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the other team. Credit to other team. Hey, all the credit to the other team. Talk about your teammates. I listened to that and I asked this question. Did the Titans win yesterday?
They did.
I didn't know that from that clip.
Nope. You wouldn't.
I know the tail of the wall.
Because there was a whole lot of talking about himself.
And I contrast this with Jack Conklin. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard this second-handed. I heard this from Joe. And I heard that Jack Conklin was really upset when the Titans didn't pick up his fifth-year option. and that when the Titans tried to make an offer to keep Jack Conklin, when he hit free agency, Jack Conklin wasn't interested. He wanted to go to Cleveland. It wasn't like Cleveland offered Conklin, you know, a bajillion dollars, and that the Titans couldn't, so he just went. I think Conklin was pretty upset with the Titans. Never once heard a word from Jack Conklin. Didn't hear a word from Jack Conklin when he was an All-Pro as a rookie. Didn't hear a word from Jack Conklin when he tore his ACL in the Patriot playoff game and wasn't the same player after that. Never heard a word from Jack Conklin when his fifth-year option wasn't picked up, and didn't hear a word from Jack Conklin when the Titans made it to the AFC Championship game, and he was a big reason why. Taylor Lewan sometimes comes off as selfish and sometimes comes off as attention-seeking. I have a hard time with a guy who makes as much money as he does being upset at however many fans were there that booed. This, I think, was the fourth quarter of the Arizona game. Three-fourths of the stadium was gone. Most of the people who are a part of the fan base don't even go to games. A lot of people in the fan base can't afford to go to games. And so to be so upset about it and say things like, I'll never forget, that to me is really rude. And it's really disrespectful. And I think it's really selfish after your team wins a big game to get up there and just go bitch about the fans. I really, really was bothered by it. And I think with all things in life, this is a two-way street. You know, I've always said this about coaches, and look, I know bad news travels fast. You get on the radio and you say, I think they should fire whomever. Well, somebody who knows that person heard it and is going right to that person and saying, Jared Stillman said, and I've learned to live with it. I'm not worried about it because you get to make $8 million doing whatever you do. Or in the case of Taylor Lewan, you make $14 million a year to do what you do. By the way, 3 years ago at Bridgestone Arena, I was booed by the crowd. My hometown arena. I've told the story on the air. Like, people, when I went up, you know, we were up in a suite that night, and we go downstairs, and they're like, you know, they introduce everybody at the radio station from Jared and the GM, Jared Stillman. And the place just, and I, you know, I'm sure it was a handful of people, but I could hear it. And I was like, you know, with had my hand in the air, I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's like, you know, smiling, whatever.
Smile but and wave, boys.
I go upstairs, and our general manager at the time, Jana Hampton, she goes, you like that though, right? And I'm like, no. I'm in my hometown arena. And I'm saying everybody's, you know, and it feels like everybody. I'm like, they're booing? No, I don't like that. I want the crowd to go, Jared, 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 Jared. That's all I want. But I'm also realistic.
Oh, that's all you want.
All I want.
It's just a crowd full of people cheering my name.
I'm also realistic as to why it didn't happen. And that was the point I made, was like, look, I mean, I didn't like it. But I also, I'm not going to have a hard time sleeping at night because that happened. I understand why that happened. I get it. The truth is controversial. I tell the truth. I get it. And like, Braden Gall must have come up to me like 16 times and said, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. You know, it's okay. And I remember saying, you know, it's really not that big of a deal.
You're kind of making it a big deal.
But the more you talk about it, the more mad I get. So just stop talking about it. So when I factor in how much money I make, and I think I do okay, and I think I've got a really nice life and I love my job, and I think about how much Taylor Lewan makes, which is significantly more than I make by a boatload. A lot more than a boatload. More like
a few yacht loads.
I was going to say, like, you know, maybe like 14 yachts. You know, like, well, like however many.
Whatever it is.
I just don't have a lot of sympathy. And the other thing, too, that you know, like when you're somebody like me and you're opinionated and you say a lot of things, like when you put yourself out there, people are going to react in a certain way. And Taylor Lewan, unlike Jack Conklin, puts himself out there. Yeah, I mean, he puts himself out there. He's got his podcast. Remember what he told the Preds fans before the playoffs? I mean, he likes the attention. So one thing you know as somebody who is in the spotlight is that there's, you know, there are going to be people that don't like you now. And so I just found those comments to just be so selfish yesterday. And I'm, you know, I I think fans are allowed to boo. It's like I told you today when talking about the fact that I got booed at Bridgestone Arena.
Mm-hmm.
You have to realize the people doing the booing paid to be there, and you are paid to be there. And so once you realize that, I think that it was – I don't think it's going to be a distraction for the team, but I thought that one, Taylor Lewan needs a reality check, which mm-hmm. I've probably thought that for a long time. But two, I thought it was really disrespectful to the fans and disrespectful to the team to make this about himself, to wear on a Titan Monday at 5:30 we're talking about it.
Yeah, see, I'm not in the business of saying, oh, you know, poor Taylor Lewan, go wipe your tears with your paycheck. Because, I mean, I'm sure it was tough for Taylor Lewan, and I'm sure his rehab was difficult, and I'm sure coming back and getting back to the level that you left off with is going to be incredibly difficult. And I'm not going to tell Taylor Lewan how he can and can't feel about the way that the fans booed him or the fact that they booed him at all. I'm not going to tell him he needs to just suck it up.
Sure.
But do you know what the fans owe Taylor Lewan? Absolutely nothing. The fans owe nothing to Taylor Lewan, to any person on that field. So Taylor Lewan, don't come up and tell me and say, oh, well, the way that the fans treated me made me upset. You owe the fans everything, and they owe you absolutely nothing at all. You owe your team your all, and you didn't do any of that in postgame. You didn't say, thank you to my teammates, thank you to my coaches for being able to help me get back to this level where I'm at.
Because I don't know what the rest of the interview was.
But he didn't say it there. And I think the fact that he made it about himself and he made it about the fans, to your point, I think is classless. And if I'm a fan and I'm paying my hard-earned money to be there, I don't want to be there and support Taylor Lewan if he's just going to turn around and rip me for him not doing his job.
And I know I made a rule a couple weeks ago that I didn't care about anything Taylor Lewan said. You know, I don't care about his podcasting, and I care about his left tackle play. He was fine yesterday. He's fine.
Yeah, he did his job.
But when you're making $14 million, fine ain't going to cut it. You know, like, that's not... you can't be as good as Questenberry and me be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not how this works. And so, I mean, I think it's pretty black and white with Taylor Lewan, which is either Taylor Lewan will play like an all-pro left tackle or he won't be here next year. And I think it's as simple as that. And, you know, he can be mad at the fans all he wants, and he can say, I mean, Steve McNair got booed. So, I was a fan then. I've talked to Chris Anders about this. I've talked to Floyd Reese about this. You think Steve McNair was happy when he got hurt against Kansas City in 2000, the fans cheered?
No.
Okay.
That has got to be the most just gutting feeling to say, gosh, like, my career right now is on hold, and people like it.
I don't ever remember hearing Steve McNair say a word about it.
As he shouldn't.
And the one thing that I'll say to Taylor Lewan, you ain't Steve McNair. And you ain't ever going to be Steve McNair. So... I think that, you know, I was disappointed in it yesterday because you feel like the one thing that I worry about in my life is, like, I worry about the people in my life taking things that people say about me the wrong way. I don't worry about me taking things the wrong way. I worry about other people and saying, you know, like, I worry about, like, my brother or sister getting worked up about something that is said about me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't worry about what, you know, some guy says or whatever. And, like, Taylor Lewan, you got to grow thicker skin. Now, you can be like Michael Jordan or Tom Brady and take it and, you know, put it in one ear and metabolize it into becoming the greatest motivational fuel you've ever had.
But you don't have to do that.
No.
All you have to do is just not comment on it.
But this whole thing, I think that, you know, Darren said it best when, you know, you just say, like, hey, you know, the fans were out there today and they were really cheering hard and I was glad I could provide for them. But I do, you know, TD is right. Like, I know I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. TD is right. You know, we asked these guys to tell us the truth, and here he is telling us the truth, and now we're ripping him for it. 615-737-1025. All of that stuff's on the table. We'll get back to your text. We'll also check around the league with Caroline on what's going on there. Stillman & Company, it's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. You know, I love my guys at Hiller. They take great care of my home, and they can do the exact same for you. You know what's funny about Hiller is I've been using them now for 3 years, telling you about them every day, and yet every time I call them out there, it's such a breeze that I'm literally like, gosh, I keep forgetting how easy this is. September is the time to get in with my friends at Hiller to upgrade your essential home systems because they're offering you credits for your old home systems. Trade in your old HVAC unit and earn up to $15 in credits towards select new systems. Upgrade from a standard water heater to a tankless water heater and earn up to $500 with your trade. Trade up to a new electrical panel and earn up to $500 in credits for your old one. Their work is backed by the Happy OB or services free guarantee. Sorry about that, everybody. Their technicians are continuing to take measures to keep you and your family safe and healthy on every single call. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds, the Vanderbilt Commodores, and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Talk today. Stillman & Company live from the Bode Hotel. Again, we're here for about 20 more minutes. The Bode downtown. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I didn't know about the Bode until we came here today. I don't know how many people do or don't. They got one bedroom, two bedroom, three bedroom, four bedroom. But the sidebar, I will be here at some point during the season for Preds games at Bridgestone, Titans games. Sidebar is the neighborhood bar that is great for pre-gaming and post-gaming. Sidebar sells bar bites that you can fill up on before buying expensive concessions or grab to go while walking to the stadium. Or if you're going out on Broadway or something like that, you know, they got so much going on out here at the Bode Hotel. Let's go right to your phones, as promised. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caroline Fenton, what do we have in the text?
One texter texts in and says, can you talk about why J-Rob didn't keep Conklin? We've wasted a first-round pick last year and could have used this year's second-round pick on another position of need or depth.
Because they franchise-tagged Derrick Henry. That's why.
Next. There you go. Jacob texts in and says, every time Lawan talks or tweets, especially about something negative regarding him, it just seems like he's gaslighting everyone. I love hard truth from players, but his never seems authentic.
I actually kind of agree with that. I mean, I Derek Mason, years ago, I mean like 6 years ago or so, just lit Taylor Lawan up. They got embarrassed on a Thursday night game against Jacksonville. They were the worst team in the league, and the offensive line didn't hustle on a two-minute drill. And Derek Mason, you know, who's got skins on the wall, just lit Taylor Lewan up on the radio. And I remember the line. I remember D. Mace just going off and saying, you want to be a backstreet boy? Go be a backstreet boy. But that's not how offensive linemen are supposed to be. And a couple years later, Lewan went on the show and talked about how what Derek said hurt his feelings, but he knew that it was true. And it was – and sometimes I kind of feel like Taylor Lewan is an offensive lineman who – has more of a personality of a wide receiver or a corner. You know, wide receiver, I think the reason why wide receivers can be so angry and so demanding is because they get open. They have to get open on every play.
That's their job.
And they may not even get the ball. So, like, you know, I may get open on this corner, hit me for a touchdown, and you didn't even see me. That's my, like, I did what you're asking me to do. And you don't even see
And I didn't get noticed.
And that's why they have to, you know, kind of yell at the quarterback, yell at the coach, give me the ball, feed me the ball, let me, you know, whatever. And so I get that. You know, that's why I think those are individual positions. Corner, I got this guy, and I'm going to dominate him. Offensive line is, hey, we're just here to do the dirty work, and we're here to get out of your hair and make everybody else look good.
It's not a job that necessarily gets probably the praise that it deserves.
Right. And
but Taylor Lewan's asking for it.
But he wants it. You know, I told you, like, Taylor Lewan's got to understand, all of the stuff in his life goes away when he's not a star left tackle. Like, that podcast, he can still host it. It's not the same. Like, it's just not the same. How many former offensive linemen have podcasts or radio shows across the country?
I'm sure there are a few. I don't know them off the top of my head.
So, like,
Jeff Saturday's made a career out of it.
Right. And Jeff Saturday made it to the Pro Bowl and was an All-Pro for an entire decade and won a Super Bowl. Like, so you got to understand that when you walk away, like, there's a lot of guys that, you know, your life is never the same. Once you're not the coach, once you're not the GM or the quarterback or the star, unless you're a Hall of Famer, unless you're Peyton Manning, it's just not the same. And so I hope he understands that. Just get to work. Like, just get to work. What else we got?
Well, and I think also, too, on the Taylor Lewan front. It's,
I'm so over Taylor Lewan.
But it's not the fact that he was telling the truth, because to TD's point, you know, we always get so frustrated with Mike Vrabel because just tell it to us straight. Just tell us what you're thinking. Just tell us the truth. It's not the fact that Taylor Lewan was willing to bare his soul and say how he felt. It wasn't that. It was the fact that he felt it at all. It was the fact that he felt the need to say that in a press conference, that he felt so beat up by the fans that he was willing to the texter's point, almost kind of gaslight them and say, the way I played bad and the way that you reacted to it made me feel sad. I'm just not really in the business of that.
Time for headlines around the NFL. Big Sunday yesterday, big game tonight with Caroline Fenton. Let's do it.
We're spanning the sports world. It's Headlines with Caroline on Stillman and Company, right here on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Headlines presented by Fiero Tequila, the spiciest infused tequila on the market. The world belongs to the brave.
So, may have noticed that Andy Reid didn't speak after their loss last night.
I hope he's doing okay.
He is. So, Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid left Arrowhead Stadium last night right after the game. He was transported to a hospital after he said he was feeling sick after Sunday's game, their loss against Los Angeles Chargers. He was treated for dehydration. He's expected to be fine. The team released a statement and said that he's doing well. He's currently resting. He's in stable condition. Didn't go into nitty-gritty details about will he be back on Sunday, exactly what's going on with Andy Reid, but they did say he's doing well. But Andy Reid stayed in the sideline until the end of the game, returned to the locker room, didn't address the media. Their assistant head coach David Tube did, but, you know, hoping for the best for Andy Reid.
Let me say something. Andy Reid's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down at the combine one time, and Bill O'Brien was supposed to come at a certain time, and Andy Reid was supposed to come at a certain time. And I think Bill came late, and Andy came early. And Andy's people with the Chiefs were telling Chase, we got to go, we got to go, we got to go. And Andy was like, I'd love to go on with Floyd.
And he waited. Nice of him.
And Andy Reid came on the show. And, you know, I've been an Andy Reid fan ever since, because that's one of those things where, like, Andy's not too big for, you know, just, like, hanging out. Mm-hmm. And Andy seems like a genuine guy who's been through a lot of stuff in his life. And I heard that yesterday and immediately was like, not Andy, because I'm a big Andy Reid guy. But I will say this. Andy's up there in age. You know, you can make whatever, you know, thoughts on Andy's health you'd like to make. If I was Eric Bieniemy, I wouldn't leave. Because I think that if you stay, even though Eric Bieniemy will be able to get an NFL job at the end of the year, if you
His name has been thrown around for the USC job.
How long until Andy goes? And if Andy goes and you stay, they may give you that job. And then you've got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and nobody else does. So I hate hearing that about Andy, though. What's next?
Justin Tucker making NFL history last night.
Asterisk.
What?
The delay of game. That kick should have never happened.
Well, it did.
But I'm sitting there yelling at my TV. Delay a game, delay a game. And I don't hear a word out of Adam Archuleta.
Well,
who,
that's not Justin Tucker's fault.
It's not Justin Tucker's fault.
It is the refs' fault, though. And the refs have made some repeated mistakes so far this season.
I was really bummed out. Like, really bummed out. Because I love the kick.
Mm-hmm.
And it was great. But to know that the kick shouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, it takes away from an incredible accomplishment.
That's tough as a Lions fan, too.
They should take a game check from that referee. They've done it before when the refs messed up a clock in a Seahawks game in, like, 2004. Walt Anderson was the official. And it was so bad that they took a game check. I would take a game check from that ref.
And, you know, you could make the argument that every call could potentially affect the outcome of the game. But when this one's very so obviously directly affected the outcome of the game, it was a bad missed call. But Justin Tucker did hit the longest field goal in NFL history last night, 66-yarder to win the game for the Ravens. Matt Prater's 64-yard field goal in 2013 was the previous record that was just broken last night by Justin Tucker. So in warmups, he attempted several 65-yarders. They all came up short, but this one, the one that mattered, went in.
I think you can fairly say that Justin Tucker is the best kicker in the history of the NFL.
That's exactly what John Harbaugh said post-game.
I mean, I have a lot of respect for Jan Stenerud, and I have a lot of respect for kickers around the league. And I obviously wasn't alive when Jan Stenerud was kicking field goals and Floyd was his coach. But I think it's hard to say Justin Tucker's not the greatest field goal kicker in the history of the NFL.
Oh, and I think he signed, sealed, delivered his spot in Canton last night.
Oh, he was in.
Yeah.
He was already in, but
that was his second 60-plus yard field goal in Detroit. He said, I love Detroit. Yeah, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to buy a place here.
Yeah. And that's the thing about great kickers. They love the dome. They love the dome, and they love Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, Tucker goes out there and hits. I mean, it was a great kick, but I just was so bummed out. I was so bummed out that they missed that call. Just because it kind of took it away from it. Headlines with Caroline, presented by Fiero Tequila, the world's spiciest tequila infused on the market. Fiero Tequila, the world belongs to the brave. Caroline's coming up next. We've got a big Monday Night Football game to get into. Invigorate Health. Find them online at invigoratehealthtn.com. If you feel like you are just down, or you just can't lose weight, or you feel tired and old, Invigorate Health has something that will probably take care of you. They've got IV therapies, so you can just stick it right there in your arm. In fact, they can bring it out to you with their concierge service. They've also got hormone replacement therapies, so that'll help your vitality. What they'll do, you'll get a consultation, you'll go in there, they'll take a look at your blood work, and they'll see what you're missing. It might be testosterone, it might be something else, and their trained physicians and nurses know exactly how to handle it. So they'll see it and say, okay, this is the program that's best for you. I have met tons of people that have been to Invigorate Health, and they were 45 and immediately, bang, started losing weight, started feeling younger again, started to kind of see that in themselves. I'm telling you, InvigorateHealthTN.com. They've also got the M-Sculpt Neo. I actually think I'm going to get on the M-Sculpt Neo here in just a little bit. You know, like, you know, it's a non-invasive electromagnetic field where it takes the hard-to-lose fat areas like your thighs, your buttocks, your abdomen, you name it. Buttocks, your abdomen, your thighs, everything. And you will see on average a 30% loss of fat, 25% gain of muscle. And it is non-invasive. That's why I love my friends at Invigorate Health, because they are always into the latest standards of what's going to keep you safe, but also restore your vitality. Invigorate Health, InvigorateHealthTN.com. It's right a little bit of drive in Mount Juliet. It's not far away. Love them. They'll take great care of you. Tell them Jared Stillman sent you. InvigorateHealthTN.com. Stillman and Company, we are live today. Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling. We are live today from the Bode Hotel, downtown Nashville. I want to thank them for having us out here again. Bode, Nashville is only a 15-minute walk from Nissan Stadium. It's perfect if you're going to the Titans games, Preds game. It's right here south of Broadway, right by, you know, kind of all the I don't say drama, but all the action of Broadway. And they have plenty of rooming options from one bedrooms to four bedrooms with a full living room and kitchen. They've also got fire pits and plenty of seating right outside the bar at Sidebar for overflow if you just want to grab a drink and chill outside. So I want to thank them for having us. So I'm going to throw a curveball at you. Normally we pick like three or four games for Caroline's.
Uh-huh.
I only want to pick from the Monday Night Football game.
Okay.
So I want to do some props on the
Perfect.
Monday night, because I've gotten in. Remember the how I kept talking about the FanDuel Sportsbook said that it was 26.5 Titans point total.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I think it's going to be a rock fight. I'll go under. 25.
Made some good.
Vegas always knows.
Vegas always knows. I want to say the over-under, because I was talking to Chase about it over the weekend. Over-under in the LSU-Mississippi State game was 55. Point total was 53.
They know.
They know. They always know.
They know. So with that, I want to get into some of these, you know, prop bets. Cowboys, Eagles. Let's do it. It's time for Caroline's.
Get in on the action. Put the money on the mahogany. What's on tap on the sports books? It's time to break it all down with Caroline's here on Stillman and Company
on ESPN
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Caroline's is brought to you by BetUS. It's my favorite sports book, and it's also been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. You can sign up at betus.com, mention game to get a sign up bonus on your first deposit. Eagles, Cowboys tonight, Monday Night Football. I think the Cowboys win outright, but I think best bet here is go ahead and take the Eagles +3.5. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be the difference of like a field goal, but I do think the Cowboys win outright. Your best value here is taking the Eagles +3.5, -115. Cowboys on the money line, -180.
I'm going to take the Eagles. I think the Eagles are going to win outright. I'll take them +3.5, though, because I like to get the little point, you know, shell to protect me a little bit.
It's a nice little cushion.
The NFL is so wacky and wild that week three was, there were a lot of games that I was like taking my glasses off to be like, what? And I don't even have glasses. But I was like literally
but you took
like,
them off anyways.
Looking over like, what is going on here? I mean, the Chargers beat the Chiefs, and a lot of people, I think that the Eagles are not very good, and the Cowboys have impressed through 2 weeks. I am going to take the Eagles to win this one, and I'll take the 3.5.
Anytime touchdown scorer, is it Jalen Hurts +155?
Okay.
I think that's pretty solid. You also could get CeeDee Lamb plus 100, Ezekiel Elliott plus 100. I wouldn't put money on that. Amari Cooper plus 105, Miles Sanders plus 145, Jalen Hurts plus 155, Devontae Smith plus 175.
So on an anytime touchdown score, that means that Jalen Hurts has to run the ball into the end zone, right?
Yes. Any player who carries or receives the ball in the end zone. So Jalen Hurts would have to run it in. Jalen Hurts is a solid one. I don't think I would. It's not even worth it with Ezekiel Elliott.
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders plus 145. I think that's pretty solid.
I like Miles Sanders. And the Cowboys' run defense has always kind of like, you know, they've got pretty decent in the back end. I worry about their run defense.
The Cowboys just never run the ball with Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy does not believe in the ground game.
Oh, he's a crap coach.
Well, I'll just say what I said. The Cowboys never run the ball.
Give me another prop.
All right. First touchdown scorer. Ezekiel Elliott plus 700. Amari Cooper plus 700. CeeDee Lamb plus 700. Miles Sanders plus 950. Jalen Hurts plus 950. And Tony Pollard plus 1,000.
Ooh, I like that Tony Pollard at plus 1,000. I like the Tony Pollard. Give me Tony Pollard plus 1,000.
All right. All right. To score two or more touchdowns. Best value here, Devontae Smith plus 1,200, Miles Sanders plus 1,000, Jalen Hurts plus 1,000, Amari Cooper plus 650, Ezekiel Elliott plus 650. Still, I stay away from that one, and CeeDee Lamb plus 600.
Yes, Devontae Smith feels pretty good.
Plus 1,200. I mean, I feel like that's even worth
your
while.
Miles Sanders.
You're high on Miles Sanders today. You're on the Miles Sanders train.
I'm a Miles Sanders guy today.
Okay.
I'm just not a huge believer in the Cowboys. Tell us about BetUS.
I want to tell you about BetUS because it's my favorite sports book, and it's been America's favorite sports book for over 25 years. We appreciate BetUS for bringing us Carolines. You can sign up at BetUS.com, mention game, and get a sign-up bonus on your first deposit.
That's going to do it for us. We're out of here, Preds Insiders. By the way, Tanner Janot, a couple of goals in a preseason game. Preds Insiders is next.